According to the Farmer's Almanac, we're getting a dry, mild winter in the western states this year, honey.
Oh, please. You say that every year. We're still getting new wiper blades. Premier Oil Change has their buy one, get one free sale, and I'm not passing that up.
But the Almanac...
The only forecast I care about is buy one, get one free. Get in the car.
At Premier Oil Change, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free now through January 7th. No appointment needed. Just cruise on in, grab a free beverage, hop on the free Wi-Fi, and earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards, all while trained technicians take care of our thorough 30-point service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro at the Holiday Market Shopping Center, in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from the Round Table Pizza. Stop making excuses and come to the home of the friendly oil change today. Your wipers will thank you.
Your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Incorporated.
He still believes the American dream. His last breath he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, by the Wounded Warrior Project, and by Ondas Holdings, LLC.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Ace Atkins, a renowned author, is with us here. His new novel, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, is out today. And it's great to talk to you, Ace. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Randy. Thanks so much. I'm here in Oxford, Mississippi, and so I'm about to start on a national tour. So enjoying my last day of freedom before I hit the airlines.
You can't be in Oxford, Mississippi. That's where John Grisham lives.
I ran him out of town. He hasn't been here for 20 years. He lives in Virginia now. I said the town's not big enough for the two of us.
You can't have two novelists in the same southern city. Where did you grow up, Ace?
I get to grow up all over. My family is really very southern, and so I've been much like a military family, only my dad was in the NFL. He worked as a coach in the NFL. So you name the team, he was probably there. We bounced around a lot and then ended up coming back and settling back in Atlanta, and then I ended up going to school in Alabama.
And you played for Auburn for a while, right?
I did. Yeah, no, that was my college experience. I played for Auburn in college.
Yeah, I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. And generally, if we talk to anybody from Alabama, I'll talk slower. But in your case, you know, since you're...
Hey, I said I went to Auburn.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So let's talk about this new book, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Sure.
It's really intriguing. It's set in Atlanta, and it's about a 14-year-old Peter Bennett, a BMX riding, MTV watching teenager, convinced that his mom's new boyfriend is not just an oddball, but a covert KGB agent. I mean, that's a great way to start something.
That was the whole idea. I mean, I grew up in Atlanta in the 80s, so I was a 14, 15-year-old kid in the 80s, so I knew that world very much. And for anyone who knew that time period or was around, the Soviet paranoia was everywhere. I mean, it was a time that, you know, the missiles were just the compounding as
right,
far as
right.
productions with the Reagan Star Wars program, as far as the idea of a laser grid across America to change things. So what had kind of kept us in check, that mutually assured destruction, that idea of that. Meanwhile, the stockpiles of missiles are just going up and up and up. And then in 1985 was such a pivotal year because, I don't know if you remember, but you had a series of Soviet premiers who kept on dying because they were pointing these old party members.
That's right.
About like 9 years old. And then there's this young guy comes in named Mikhail Gorbachev. And in 1985, nobody knew really very much about him. They didn't know, is he going to be a tough hardliner? Is he going to want to sit down at the table for peace? And exactly 40 years ago, this this in the last few weeks, Reagan and Gorbachev met in Geneva for those first peace talks. And of course, that changed everything. So a lot of the book is about the lead up to what was happening. And that involves some of the espionage that was happening behind the scenes that was prepping these men for a summit. And when those two men met in Geneva, that was a big deal. That was about the biggest thing that had happened in years and years and years. And so that's a lot of the background to the novel is about leading up to the Geneva summit.
So interesting. We're talking to author Ace Atkins here in the National Defense, his new novel, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. And I do. I remember those times, and everybody was suspect of everybody else. And it's so funny to me that over the years, I mean, even tracing it back to the old Hollywood days of McCarthyism, that there's always been a mistrust or a distrust of anything Russian. And I mean, it still continues to this day, but to your point though, Ace, I mean, yeah, that was kind of the feeling there. And, you know, good for you for picking up on that. And, congratulations, by the way, you're going to be, receiving the Harper Lee Award next year for lifetime achievement in Southern literature. Wow.
That means I'm getting to a certain age where you start getting lifetime awards. So. I used to like getting those Young Voices awards.
Yeah,
those
right. The 40 before 40.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it is. I mean, talking about the Soviets and talking about Russia. You know, the more we're on, and then you can go back and look at that time. There was a reason for the paranoia, and there was a reason. There were Soviet agents living among us. That was a fact. There was something called the Illegals Program, which was brilliantly done to show the Americans. And so the idea that you were having people that were spying on you and working, and actually I've talked to a former FBI agent who was working in Atlanta in the 80s during that time, and there were Soviets that were working that city all the time, and they were trying to recruit people working for defense contractors and working for Lockheed Martin. And so, you know, the trade of government secrets was huge, and there were all kinds of means of getting people to come over, but the bartering for loyalty between the Americans and the Russians at that time was a massive business.
So you lived in Atlanta. Were you there in 88 through 91?
I was not. I was gone by that time. I was mainly the early 80s up until around 86.
I did the morning show then. It's Z93, the legendary.
Oh, Z93 was, that was my favorite radio station.
Oh, man, that was a great.
Z93 was great. Well, the Z93 was the deal in the 1980s to be, that's the soundtrack to this. I mean, I talk about these kind of weighty things with espionage and kind of stuff, but the heart of it is about a 14-year-old kid who loves, you know, MTV and Prince and, you know, he's listening to Duran Duran and all that stuff. And so that was the pop music station in Atlanta.
Oh,
I don't know,
man.
Today, but Z93 and 96 Rock, those were the
things. You're right. 96 Rock was right there too. Yeah, I did a morning show with Mary Glenn Lassiter, who was the news person there. And
yeah, of course.
Steve McCoy.
I know that name.
Steve McCoy was the guy that I replaced, and just loved that station. Actually had a chance to stay at that station when it turned classic rock, but then got another offer to move. So, but man, what a great time going to the Varsity downtown.
Yep. The Varsity, there's a major espionage scene in the book.
Is there really?
The Varsity.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of the places I remember, and going to the shopping malls that period of, you know, Lenox Square and being on MARTA at that time.
Buckhead.
All those great Buckhead. Yeah, no, Buck, there's a lot of stuff that happens in Buckhead. Build Downtown Rich's department store.
Oh,
you know, it's
wow.
A very nostalgic book. So it's a lot of my memories. You know, I wasn't chased by Soviet agents as a kid, but everything else in the book is really true. But I think much in the way that if you watch a film like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino film, you hear the music of that time period of what's playing in the background is so important. And I think we would definitely be listening to Z93 in 1985 and listening to, you know, Duran Duran and Aha and Cyndi Lauper and Madonna.
Oh,
that's
man.
Such a big deal.
This is my book. Everybody wants to rule the world from Ace Atkins. Now, you published your first novel, what, 1998?
That's right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, is that just always come easy to you in terms of writing?
It's a tough business, and I think people sometimes don't understand. I think things have changed a lot. Back in the day when you got published, it was a very big deal. I mean, you got published, and your book is out in the bookstores and at Barnes & Noble and, you know, at Borders and all that kind of stuff. And now, you know, if people write a book, they can upload it on Amazon.
Right.
And, you know, you could write a story about your dog and upload it. And there. So frequently when I'm traveling, people say, what do I do for a living? And I say, I'm in the paper business. Because inevitably, I say, I'm an author. And they say, oh, my uncle's an author. My brother wrote a book or whatever. But to actually, you know, publish a book and actually, you right. know, do it professionally is a tough gig. And I used to be, I was a newspaper reporter. I went in after college. I was a newspaper reporter. I worked down at the Tampa Tribune for a number of years. And then I've been writing books full time for, I can't believe it, 25 years. And it's every book is a tough gig. It is. It's just, you know, the things change and the audience changes. And, you know, it's not as tough as radio, but it's a tough business.
Yeah, radio's nothing. you know, and people, I think they look at this book, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, kind of, if you're a fan of Red Dawn or, The Americans, and, I have interviewed, a lot of people that, that took over the Tom Clancy franchise. And, you
oh,
know,
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Mark Granian.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's a, man, when you get to the point where you have other people taking over your franchise, that's pretty strong, huh?
It is. There's a lot of dead writers working.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I worked for one of them. So it's a, you know, people like, they like continuity. They like, reading that stuff. But Tom Clancy, going back to him, he was a huge influence on me. And he and, you know, Robert Ludlum and Frederick Forsyth and, the great Martin Cruz Smith, who wrote Gorky Park. And so when I went to write this book, I went back and I reread a lot of those 80s, thrillers. And, you know, you couldn't pick up a book without, it was about, you know, it was about America and the Soviet Union. It was about spying. It was right. about, you know, what was happening. And I think that stuff continues today. I think it's still out there. There's still a tremendous amount of meddling with the Russians. And so it's something that seems like it's in the far past, but I think a lot of that continues on.
Well, our audience certainly eats that up for sure, that active duty military veterans and their families. So listen, this is going to be great. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's out today. Ace, thank you so much, man. Great to talk to you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Every town's got its heroes. Veterans, firefighters, EMTs, police officers. The folks who show up when it matters most. Tractor Supply calls them hometown heroes. Verified hometown heroes receive exclusive Neighbors Club perks like 2% back on every purchase, free trailer rentals, same day delivery, and special discounts on hero holidays like July 4th and Veterans Day. It's easy to join. Just sign up for Neighbors Club and verify through ID.me. The benefits kick in automatically. Learn more at tractorsupply.com/hometownheroes.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Redding, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Now's
a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. What a story this is. Incredible. One family has been fighting for over 70 years, and it's not my family, to recover what they say is rightfully theirs, a $28 billion treasure buried deep inside a mountain in the New Mexico desert. Some believe the U.S. government stole it. Skeptics claim it never existed. Now, for the first time, the family and its supporters reveal exclusive evidence to prove their case and crack open the mystery of America's greatest treasure story. The truth of Victorio Peak has never been told until now. And this is, well, takes part in a 6-part docuseries, Gold Lies and Videotape, which premieres today on Discovery Channel and will be available to stream the same day after. And joining us here to talk about all of this is Terry Delonis and Alex Alonzo. Guys, welcome. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing real good.
So talk about this a little bit and what your part is in this.
Well, I was the documenter, and I started off that way because this was a fascinating topic. A partner of mine received a videotape from Terry, the VHS. He's like, you know, he needs 20, 30 copies of this. Check it out. I mean, it only took seconds. And once I saw it, I was like, I want in. This is an adventure. I was 24 years old. So I jumped in and had a production company in Irvine, California, and offered to shoot this for him. And he said, let's do this. And eventually we got to the peak. And I just documented every step of the way and in a lot of ways followed Terry around the peak and the important people that were part of the excavation and mostly the family. That was really concerned about shooting the family members that were all in their mid-80s who had to tell their story and didn't have the sophistication to get it down. So this show is going to show that process of family saying it, us going to the peak, us excavating. It's the whole thing. It's a 6-part series. This is actually episode 2, which airs today. Episode 1 was last week. And I urge everybody to look at this because you've never seen anything like this. This is not what you call a treasure hunt. I mean, we're just a treasure salvage. We know where it is. We're just trying to get in.
Yeah, exactly. It's a all-new 6-part docuseries, Gold Lies and Videotape, exploring the greatest treasure hunt in American history now on Discovery Channel. So, Terry, you're the grandson, right?
Correct.
And so
I
talk about your grandparents who have kind of been unrelenting in this pursuit to find out what happened to this $28 billion treasure, right?
It's a pleasure. My grandfather, Doc Noss, was an amazing character. He was 3/4 Cheyenne Indian, and he had a podiatrist foot clinic practice in southern New Mexico. My grandmother, Babe, was sort of his assistant, business partner, fellow explorer. And the two of them used to go deer hunting on the weekend, and they probed some caverns in the small hill, Victoria Peak, that was in an extremely remote area of southern New Mexico, about 40 miles from the border with Mexico. And they just started finding an amazing array of tunnels, chambers, caverns, many of which were full of all these artifacts. We think some of them dating back over 500 years, many of them clearly dated to be back in the conquistador period of the 1500s, mid-16th century. And they were doing everything they could to figure out the origin of the treasures and the site that they had discovered. They enlisted the help of the governor of New Mexico and the state land office, in filing a claim of discovery on the site, and my grandparents started removing gold bullion and artifacts from the site. That turned out to be a mistake because my grandfather tried to sell some of the bullion and was murdered in one of the transactions.
Oh, wow.
My grandmother then took up the work of trying to provide safe access into the treasure chambers so federal and state officials could accompany them into the mountain. There was a tragic cave-in, and access was blocked. By then, World War II was emerging, and it was necessary for the defense of the country to expand the boundaries of what became White Sands Missile Range, and this land became part of that federal testing installation. So 9 years after my grandfather's murder, and after this was part of the federal missile test range, some of the airmen at Holloman Air Force Base rediscovered one of the treasure rooms and took their report to the Pentagon, to the Secretary of the Army, and the Treasury Department. At that point, a veil of secrecy fell across the peak. There were some events that no one understood at the time, and there was a top-secret excavation of the peak by the Treasury Department and Department of the Army. This program, Gold Lies and Videotape, is going to begin revealing all the evidence of what happened during that excavation, as well as what happened to some of the material that was removed in future decades.
Oh, wow. This is some fascinating stuff. It's an all-new six-part docuseries, Gold Lies and Videotape, and it talks about the greatest treasure hunt in American history. It's on Discovery Channel now. Terry, when did you first catch wind of this incredible story about your grandparents and about this gold?
Thanks. You trigger a great memory. When I was 6 years old, my grandmother came to live with us in Clovis, New Mexico. Her husband had been murdered. She was evicted from her claim. And she came to stay with our family, and really sitting on her knee at 6 years old, she started downloading the story into my mind. And she told me in great vivid detail all the adventures that she and her husband and friends had in discovering the treasure. And then by the time I was about 16, she took me on driving trips around southern New Mexico and introduced me to the still living, surviving characters who had shared the adventure with she and Doc Noss. So I got to meet firsthand and interview as a young teenager the people who had actually been in the caverns with my grandparents. And I heard their firsthand accounts of their adventure. So I was hooked. By the time I was a young adult, I thought, this is the greatest adventure that any young American could have, and I have to find a way to form an amicable alliance with the command at White Sands Missile Range and get their help in getting access to the site to do a proper excavation.
Wow. I can't wait to watch this and see how this all ends. Terry Delonis and Alex Alonzo, thank you so much for the time. The new series, Gold Lies and Videotape. And to tell my buddy Archie Gipp I said hi.
Will do.
Sure will.
Thank you, guys. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
For 250 years, brave Americans have answered the call to defend our freedoms. Wounded Warrior Project honors this legacy of service and sacrifice with life-changing support for post-9/11 veterans, service members, and their families. We help warriors access VA benefits, improve their mental and physical health, and provide them with career assistance so they can thrive for a lifetime. Join us in honoring warriors at woundedwarriorproject.org/America.
Reach your destination, not the ditch, with Issy Tire Socks, the amazing new solution to keep you from slipping and sliding in snow and ice. And anyone can install them in minutes for emergency traction and quick trips in the winter. Issey is the global leader in tire socks, and it's no wonder why. Issey is an essential part of your winter emergency kit, whether you drive a car, SUV, or light truck. Give the gift of grip for safer driving. Available at Amazon, Walmart, and other major retailers. Don't get stuck. Get Issey, I-S-S-E, really, Issey.com.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com. Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente, rare pink, happy ending. Extremely limited and rare, this is a perfecto in every sense of the word. A spicy Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, a Dominican binder, and luscious Nicaraguan Dominican filler. Offer up notes of oak, leather, cocoa, and spice. Proceeds from the sale of this cigar benefit breast cancer research. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Mark Malkoff is with us. He's a comedian. He's an author. He's a huge Johnny Carson fan, as am I. And he's written a great new book about Johnny, kind of a love letter to Johnny with a lot of great interviews. It's called Love Johnny Carson, One Obsessive Fan's Journey to Find the Genius Behind the Legend. And Mark joins us here in the National Defense. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Great to talk to you, man. I love Johnny Carson as well. Have been such a fan of his for so many years, and it's great to find a book that has some meat to it about Johnny Carson. I know you interviewed over 400 people for this book, right?
That's right. Everybody from Mel Brooks, who was on Johnny's very first show, October 1st, 1962, to Carol Burnett, to even the guy that held the curtain open for Johnny for 20 years. And you know what, Randy? They all told me, almost all of them would say the same thing. I love Johnny Carson. Hence the title of the book, Love Johnny Carson.
Yeah. And, you know, I interviewed a guy a few months ago who came out with a book called Carson the Magnificent. Are you familiar with that book?
Yeah.
And it's
I am. That was, Mike Thomas was the gentleman that finished the book. Bill Zemi, who I knew, worked on a Carson book for like 15 years and passed away, unfortunately. And Mike finished it up. And they, they had a successful book that came out. This is more about reveals and about kind of what went on backstage on the Tonight Show, where there was more an examination of Johnny as a talent. So it's a little bit different, and I have a lot more interviews. It's just a different type of book.
Well, I'm glad about that because, honestly, Bill's book was more about Bill. I mean, he really, there was one time he had lunch with Johnny Carson, and that's the majority of the book. So it's going to be a very interesting read to see yours and some of the interviews. What was the thing?
Oh, thanks.
What was that thing that most surprised you? Did anything surprise you about Johnny Carson?
The most surprising thing was talking to his friends, like David Steinberg, the comedian, and just people that knew him. And they told me, and this was very against what the media made him out to be cold and aloof, but the people that spent the most time with him told me routinely that he was almost the same Johnny Carson on and off camera, maybe a little less gregarious, but it was a small group of people that he trusted, that he got loyalty from, that he gave loyalty to, and it was a small group that he felt comfortable with. He was in a poker game with Chevy Chase and Steve Martin, Carl Reiner, Barry Diller, and he was really, really funny, and they said that consistently there wasn't much of a difference on and off camera. And to me, that was shocking. I just really believed the cold and aloof thing. But the cold and aloof thing was just self-preservation because everyone wanted something from him.
Now, you also mentioned in your book, Love Johnny Carson, about the fact that I had no idea about this. I guess William Shatner and Orson Welles were banned from appearing on the Carson show.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes. Johnny expected if somebody came on that they would be on good manners, and William Shatner would not let Johnny talk for 3 minutes. He comes out as long-winded, did not stick to the agreed pre-interview, was not entertaining. Then he turns his back on to Johnny, which Johnny didn't like when a guest did that, and to talk to Buddy Hackett, who was on the segment before. And then back then, Johnny Carson would say, and our next guest, William Shatner, is on T.J. Hooker Saturday nights on another network. You weren't allowed to say the network. And, of course, Shatner says, watch me on ABC on Saturday nights. So they had to bleep that out. And Carson said, three strikes, you're out. So there were certain people. Jerry Lewis yelled at the staff, at one of the staff members. So Carson said he's never coming back. He expected good manners.
Wow. We're talking to Mark Malkoff here, the National Defense. His book, Love Johnny Carson, is out. One Obsessive Fan's Journey to Find the Genius Behind the Legend. And he was a genius. I mean, the guy, over 25,000 interviews. Did he have a favorite guest? I know that he loved having stand-ups on, of course.
He really loved Ronnie Dangerfield and Don Rickles. It was almost a night off.
Yeah.
I mean, they were such powerhouses. And, you know, Rickles would have – they do a pre-interview, but they would never use it. They would throw it out. And Johnny and Rickles were so good with one another and so in sync that they could just ad-lib and just be the funniest of all people. It was an event when Rickles was on. Dangerfield would do 50 jokes. Most comedians did 25 jokes and they left. Dangerfield did 25 jokes of stand-up and sat with Johnny and did another 25. It was just such a powerhouse.
Oh, it really was, especially when Rickles was on. And, you know, and in the early days of the Tonight Show, it was so fun, and it's still fun to go to YouTube and look at some of these clips. But, I mean, smoking at the desk, casual, Rickles, Frank Sinatra. I mean, it was just a club, the atmosphere.
It was a party. They were drinking. They were drinking.
Yes.
They were smoking. It was off the rails. I mean, the show would get really, really wild. And especially if they got a panel, like it would be, you know, Bob Hope, Dean Martin and George Gobel, and the show was just anarchy, and Johnny had no control. I mean, I talk about in the book, they had actor George Pappard from the A-Team and
Tiffany
was drunk on the show. He got drunk. He was drunk on the show, and Paul Williams, the singer, they almost fought. I mean, they almost got in a fight. Pappard called Paul Williams a midget, and Paul Williams got up and said, you say that again, I'm going to punch you. I mean, it was complete anarchy, and that stuff would get on the show back then.
Oh, that was so great. We're talking to Mark Malkoff here in the National Defense. His new book, Love Johnny Carson, One Obsessive Fan's Journey to Find the Genius Behind the Legend. And I got to ask you about, and I've heard different stories about this over the years, Zsa Zsa Gabor and her cat.
That never happened.
That never happened?
No, Johnny Johnny and Jaja both went on record that it didn't happen. It never would have gotten past the network censors, first of all, Johnny said. Number two, Johnny said he wishes he would have said it because it would have made him look witty. But it was one of those myths. And I do go into on the book about what was true and what wasn't true. There's a book that said that Johnny and Elvis's 40th birthday called Elvis Batten 40, which never happened. What Johnny actually said was, Elvis is 40. Instead of blue suede shoes, he's in blue suede orthopedic shoes. So I clear a lot of things up. There are a lot of things we go into. You know, I talk about the guest host. It was unbelievable. You had people like Arnold Palmer or Kirk Douglas, Lorne Greene, guest hosting The Tonight Show. You never knew. It could be Kermit the Frog or Diana Ross. You would tune in, and you had no idea. You wanted Johnny, but it could be somebody like Michael Landon. You had no idea.
Arnold Palmer. That's incredible.
Joe Namath as well.
How is Arnold Palmer? Is that still available on YouTube, you think?
It's not available on YouTube. The first 10 years, most of it was erased, but apparently he was terrible. The people at The Tonight Show said that Arnold Palmer would be asking a question while the guest was still answering. He was asking the next question. And Johnny made it look so easy.
Yeah.
And people would try to do this, and they couldn't do it. Even an actor like Chevy Chase in 1986 guest hosted had so much trouble and said to Johnny, I don't know how you do this. You make it look so easy. Nobody's going to be the next Johnny Carson.
We're talking to Mark Malkoff here in the National Defense, his new book, Love Johnny Carson. And you talk about the origins, the true origins of Karnak the Magnificent. I did not know that. I never knew that.
And yeah.
Karnak, how did that come about? Because I've always read or I've always heard that he ripped that off from Steve Allen.
Yeah, that's what Steve Allen accused Carson of. Carl Winston was a columnist and wrote in Collier's magazine, which was very popular. He's the one that invented the whole Karnak type of routine, and Johnny purchased it in 1948 for, I think, $200. Carson owned the routine and did it locally in Los Angeles. He had a local show on an CBS affiliate. And meanwhile, when Steve Allen launched The Tonight Show, two of his writers came up with the same type of bit. And they did that nationally, so everybody thought Steve Allen came up with it, but Carson was the one that owned the rights to it. So when Carson waited 2 years until 1964 before he started doing it, until the audience was really behind Carson, because he knew people were going to accuse him of stealing the routine. But it arguably became probably the most famous character Carson did, and we're still talking about it today.
Absolutely. And you talk about in the book the part that Johnny played in getting Nixon elected.
He did. He had Nixon on a couple of months before he ran for president and made Nixon look really good. Ed McMahon coached him. Nixon went to Ed McMahon's apartment, and McMahon just helped him to be more likable. And one thing Nixon loved was Johnny's makeup, man, because Nixon famously during the JFK debate was not made up well. And he asked Johnny, Nixon said, Johnny, do you mind if you lend me your makeup person? And this gentleman, that was Johnny's makeup man, would go to the White House when Nixon had TV events and really helped him present himself well on TV. So Johnny did almost reluctantly get Nixon elected. I think he might have regretted it a little bit. But we never knew Johnny's politics. He was always makes fun of whoever was the president, but it was in good fun. But we never really knew. That was important. He said, I'm going to entertain people. People do not want to know my political opinion, but we're just going to have an entertainment show.
There will never be another Johnny Carson. I mean, the guy was just he set the bar. And it was
agreed.
Fantastic. Mark, thank you so much. Thanks for the book, and thanks for the time today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Every town's got its heroes. Veterans, firefighters, EMTs, police officers. The folks who show up when it matters most. Tractor Supply calls them hometown heroes. Verified hometown heroes receive exclusive Neighbors Club perks like 2% back on every purchase, free trailer rentals, same day delivery, and special discounts on hero holidays like July 4th and Veterans Day. It's easy to join. Just sign up for Neighbors Club and verify through ID.me. The benefits kick in automatically. Learn more at tractorsupply.com/hometownheroes.
Right now at the Home Depot, shop appliance savings and get up to 40% off select appliances like Samsung. Upgrade your kitchen with the Samsung Bespoke 4-Door Refrigerator. Now featuring the dual auto ice maker with sphere ice, only at the Home Depot. You'll have perfectly chilled drinks for every gathering. Shop appliance savings now at the Home Depot. Offer valid December 11th through January 1st. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Hey, let me tell you about our friends at Norwegian Cruise Line. They truly are a military-friendly company. They have a military appreciation program that was created for veterans, by veterans, with a mission to deliver amazing vacations for active-duty military, veterans, and their families. The program includes a 10% discount off all cruises, plus special onboard experiences, and is combinable with current NCL promotions. So military families can get the most out of their R&R at the best value. Register today at ncl.com/military. Norwegian Cruise Line, ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Ford was built on the belief that the world doesn't get to decide what you're capable of. You do. So ask yourself, can you or can't you? Can you load up a Ford F-150 and build your dream with sweat and steel? Can you chase thrills and conquer curves in a Mustang? Can you take a Bronco to where the map ends and adventure begins? Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Ready, set, Ford.
Hey, National Defense Network has a new mobile app that you need to download right now. Just go to the App Store or nationaldefensenetwork.org to get your hands on the largest giving and savings platform on the planet. You can support our military veterans at the same time you're saving over $1,500 on travel, dining, vacations, and retail. You can get $60 off admission to Disney World and hundreds of other discounts. Just go to nationaldefensenetwork.org, download the app, and upload the savings.
Thanks to generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post-9/11 veterans and their families since 2003. Through no-cost physical and mental health services, legislative advocacy, career assistance, and life skill training, we're there every step of the journey.
It's possible to feel understood,
to get support when it's needed most.
And now I know anything is possible.
And we're just getting started. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce is working every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and do business. When you join the Chamber, you become part of a network that stands up for local employers, supports our workforce, and helps shape the future of Reading. Your membership fuels advocacy at City Hall and in Sacramento, promotes tourism through Visit Reading, and strengthens the business community that keeps our economy moving. If you believe in building a stronger Reading, we invite you to join us. Visit ReadingChamber.com to learn more.
Join the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and the Reading Ballet Theater as they make the holidays come alive with a truly magical performance of the Nutcracker. This beloved holiday tradition will create lasting family memories as our talented local dancers bring this timeless classic to life on the Shasta College stage. Presented by the Shasta Symphony Orchestra and Aaron's Home, the Nutcracker runs December 18th through the 20th at the Shasta College Theater. Get your tickets today at thereadingartsproject.com.
Celebrate the holiday season at Reading Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Reading. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I tried to dabble into theater in high school, but you know, it was hard with basketball. And but basketball is, it's theater. You know, you're in front of a big audience. You're executing the play that you rehearsed. Back in practice, you're improvising within the plays. You don't know, because it's a new audience, with theater, you don't know what this, this production, this play is going to be, even though you know the plays, you know how it's executed. You do know the ending, but you don't know sort of the nuances as to how we get there. It's very interesting. So like the parallel between the two are closer than people think. The only thing of course with sports, you definitely don't know the outcome, which is why sports are so exciting. When I was in college, I was injured my senior year and was like, need to figure out what I want to do with my life. And I happened to do this Martin Luther King Gala where I said, hey, I have this speech that we used to do in high school for competition. And I remember the woman, because I was quiet in high school, only my friends knew that I was, like funny and cutting up and all that, whatever. And, but I told the woman that was running this thing, hey, I have this speech that I used to do in high school. And she was like, oh, you, what? And I could tell, I was like, yo, you don't think I can do this? So in my head, I was like, oh, you know what? Not only am I going to do this, I'm going to memorize this speech. I'm going to learn his cadence. I'm going to learn I'm going to learn the motivation behind the speech. You know, all the speeches that led up to this speech. You know, the events that led up to the event. And so when I did the speech, it was just this out of body, in my body experience that happened, where I just saw, they call it catching the bug. And when it was done, I got a standing ovation, and everyone was whatever. I got it, like, a write-up in the paper. And then one of my teachers, Professor Glenn Griffiths, who gave me a C in his class because I was always late and didn't know what I was going to do with my life, he comes up to me and says, Niambi, you're an actor. And it's the first time somebody put a name to the thing that I love doing.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. Got a lot to unpack here. All right. So, first of all, what an interesting analogy to basketball and sports in general. And that's really amazing. So most of our audience is active duty military veterans and their families. And the analogy that I like too, I got it from, Al Villanueva, who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers and went to West Point, was a West Point grad. And his analogy was that sports and the military are very much alike in terms of teamwork and resourcefulness and all of these different things. But so what did the woman say that didn't think you could do that Martin Luther King speech?
I know she was, of course, floored and was excited.
I'll bet. Yeah.
But like, it's weird when I get into that mode, because I had always been doing that. Like, I was our farewell speaker in high school. You know, I wrote a speech and delivered it to our high school. Again, people were shocked because, again, I was very quiet. I mumbled all the time. I was a mumbler. You know, even, you know, I remember one of the coaches at Georgetown, since I used to work the Georgetown basketball camp, and he's like, how are you going to be a point guard, man? You mumble. Come on, man. So I do voice work all the time now.
Man, you got a great voice.
Yeah, and so everyone saw me as a mumbler, but for whatever reason, when I was on stage, it was a chance to be someone else. I almost wish I had brought, in many ways, that happens with basketball. Because again, it's another outlet. It's a way of, there's Niambi, the person you see out in life, or whatever. Then basketball, for whatever reason, before I had the big injury, I had a huge injury right before I got to Montreal. that sort of changed my psyche, because I used to try and dunk on everybody. And then I landed mouth first on the ground and had a tooth come out, and another tooth, all my teeth were moved 6 months after my braces were taken out.
Oh,
so
wow.
From then on, I heard the footsteps.
Yeah. It sounds like you like to make a statement.
Yes.
We're talking to Niambi Niambi here on the National Defense, plays Wyatt Shaw on Night Court, and you were six seasons on Mike and Molly, played Samuel on Mike and Molly. What a great run that was, huh?
Yeah, such a great run. You know, an amazing cast with Billy Gardell, Melissa McCarthy, Katie Nixon, Susie Kurtz, Reno Wilson. You know, it was just such an awesome ensemble.
Yeah.
Riley Reed. It was just a great family to be a part of. And it set the tone for the rest of my career, because I learned so much, I learned so much from that cast, you know, Lou Mastillo, Cleo King. I mean, just so many great people. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to be on set, you know, and I learned, how to be a professional on set. And then also, learn how to bring my personality to a set, which then set the tone for, you know, of course, my time with The Good Fight and now on Night Court.
Oh, yeah, The Good Fight was great, too. And did you ever get tired of Melissa McCarthy riding your coattails?
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, hi, Melissa, this is Juan. What advice do you need?
Right, exactly. Oh, it had to get old.
Yeah. Look, okay, I'll give you one more bit of advice.
Right. But that's it. Have you ever had to appear in court?
No, I have not had to appear in court. No.
Because, I mean, all of that looks so natural to you, but I mean, yeah. And
shows. I've driven by a courtroom.
In a basketball court. Well, you know, here's the other thing. I would be so afraid to appear in front of Judge Judy.
Oh, no. No. I cannot be Judge Judy. My goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness. As soon as he opened them up, I did it. Sorry.
Well, you know, for the Mumbler to participate in the New York Public Theater Shakespeare in the Park alongside Al Pacino, that's not too bad a gig, huh?
No, it's not. I mean, that was a special time too, because you know, I played the Prince of Morocco, and the Prince of Morocco is you know, sort of the comedic relief in that play, and that's what he is. And I remember one time, because he played Shylock, so like it's all him, it's all this like heavy stuff, you know. And then I come in and I'm trying to figure out which casket has, which casket will lead me to, Portia's hand in marriage. So then we leave the, stage, and then, Al Pacino says, hey, he grabs my arm and says, it's really great, it's wonderful. Yeah. And then walked off. Man, I'm almost tired right there.
Oh man, absolutely. Oh man. Great work, man. Hey, listen, continue great success to you and Night Court.
Thank you.
See it every single week. Thank you so much for taking the time, Niambi. Great to talk to you.
No, thank you, Randy. Thank you for having me, man. Thank you. Thank you to you guys. Thank you for your service to the men and women out there. And watch us on Night Court Tuesday nights, 8:30, right after St. Dennis, another great show with one of my comedy icons, David Alan Greer. So,
absolutely, man. That's a great show, too. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
For 250 years, our armed forces have bravely served America. Wounded Warrior Project honors that legacy by supporting post-9/11 service members and veterans like Anthony, a Marine who was injured by a roadside bomb in Afghanistan.
They carried me through my injuries, not just my physical, but my mental. And seeing other vets doing the same thing helped me told myself, hey, you can do this.
Join us in honoring warriors at woundedwarriorproject.org/America.
Reach your destination, not the ditch, with Issy Tire Socks, the amazing new solution to keep you from slipping and sliding in snow and ice. And anyone can install them in minutes for emergency traction and quick trips in the winter. Issy is the global leader in tire socks, and it's no wonder why. Issy is an essential part of your winter emergency kit, whether you drive a car, SUV, or light truck. Give the gift of grip for safer driving. Available at Amazon, Walmart, and other major retailers. Don't get stuck. Get Issy, I-S-S-E.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.